Welcome to the Creating Eden podcast. I am your host, Eden Elizabeth. This podcast is a space of storytelling, truth-telling, raw and honest expression. Vulnerability is not only welcomed here, but it is celebrated. In this space, we honor the messy, the real, the authentic, the too much, and everything else that makes us human. Here, you get to witness real-time emotional and energetic processes that give you a peek into my own personal practice and the work that I do with my one-to-one private mentorship clients. Thank you for being here, for witnessing, and receiving. Hello, hello. I am so beautifully activated and feeling very alive and inspired to share and speak to what I'm going to speak to today in this podcast episode, inspired by a conversation that I had with a friend, a sister, on a walk this morning. And I'm just going to dive right in. I don't need to give like a kind of beginning speech. So let me dive right in. The topic that I'm speaking to is not bypassing our humanness for the sake of arriving at a place of love and light. And I first want to start with this like love and light, because that's like, you know, it's kind of one of those phrases that has lost its potency and it's lost its meaning. They feel like empty words, and they're just kind of like thrown around, right? At the end of a message, love and light, love and light, love and light. And I want to not just speak to this like love and light experience or state of being, actually, because that is what it is. It's a state of being, of experiencing. And I want to speak to that and kind of breathe life back into those words, and maybe, you know, speak new life into those words for you, if maybe you haven't had this, you know, embodied experience yet, or you never thought of it this way, or you didn't put this language together. And maybe you have, and this is just like that refresh of, like I said, breathing life back into these words, giving them deeper meaning, more full spectrum meaning, rather than just surface level love and light, peace sign on the fingers, you know? So let's start there. Love and light. Like immediately I see like the heart emoji and the sparkly star emoji. And that feels so fucking empty and just like, what word am I looking for? Like mainstream, not mainstream, but just like overused. All right. But when we think about what it means to, you know, be in a state of love, like, what does that actually mean? Do we even fully know? Have we even fully experienced this full state of love? We know what it means to love someone, but do we? Like, for me, I thought I knew what love was, and then I birthed my daughter, and love has a whole new meaning, a whole, like, not even just one layer of depth, but multitude of layers of depth to it now. And so when we think about the full spectrum experience of love, not just the heart emoji, that's what I'm speaking to when I say this love and light. And light, let's speak to light. It's not just the like, ooh, avoidance, or no, wait. it's not just the absence of darkness, right? It is the essence of life, the essence of spirit, of soul, of existence. Such a vast, like, I don't even think I can give full encompassing language and do it justice here. Because for me, it feels like so much more. It feels like this just cosmic energy of light and infinite just consciousness, right? Some might use the word God, but for me, like, the essence of consciousness, that's what I feel is light. And so, arriving, how do we arrive at this embodied, authentic, and genuine place of love and light in, you know, spirituality, in conscious relating, in embodied living? How do we arrive at that state fully without bypassing our humanness? Because the way that I see, read, witness that, like, love and light, peace sign energy is just like a band-aid, just empty words kind of thrown around. And I also see it as a way of, you know, not actually descending into our humanness and, you know, bypassing the actual lived experience of being a human being. So I made a post and a reel on Instagram today. And just said, you know, you can still arrive at a place of love and light without bypassing your humanness. You know, this love and light is not a band-aid for, oh, you're feeling grief. Well, just think about the good things instead. Just write a gratitude list. Drop into a space of gratitude. Like, yes, and can we first be human? Ooh, I love this. Can we be human first and then arrive at, in a space of deep connection and attunement to spirit, to our spirit, to God essence? Because telling somebody who, let's say, just lost their housing, well, be grateful for what you do have. At least you still have your job. At least you still have your kids. At least you still have money for to put food on the table. It's like, yeah, but is there a roof over that table? No, I can't just look to the bright side, find the silver lining, without first freaking the fuck out that I don't have a home. You know, that's a pretty, like, big example of it. Would be like saying to someone whose family member passed, but look at all the family members that are still alive. Right? Think of all the love that's still here with the people that, you know, are still alive. Like, it's empty. Because all that that person is going to be feeling in that moment is the loss, the absence, the grief, the space that that person no longer takes up in the physical world. And those, again, like, pretty, I don't want to say drastic because they're real, like, real experiences I'm sure people have had. And very real experiences people will have, you know, but a smaller version of this is, you know, I'm going to speak to my own experience right now. What's alive for me is this friendship heartbreak. Well, can you see the bigger perspective? Yeah, And I'm pissed. And so I'm going to let myself be pissed first. I even found myself, you know, pressuring myself to not be angry, to not be feeling the sense of injustice that I've been feeling. And I had another friend say, like, you're allowed to be petty. Like, be human. And so I guess this conversation, well, it's not really back and forth conversation, but this share for me is also inspired by her and the way she held me in my share. So can we, here's what I think. I think that, you know, my projection or observation or a little bit of both is we lean to, you know, the like love and light or spiritual or like, oh, I find peace in all of this. We lean to that before processing the real human emotions, pain, grief, heartache, whatever it is. Because we are uncomfortable with holding space for, with feeling, witnessing, experiencing the magnitude of our emotions. Or if it's somebody saying to you, oh, can't you find the silver lining here? Can't you look to gratitude? Can't you, you know, come back to a place of love and understanding and compassion? Oh, compassion. Like, yes, there will be a time to arrive at a place of compassion, but first, can you feel your fucking feelings? Can you let your emotions be alchemized through feeling them? Can you let your emotions be alchemized through fully feeling them? So I think that, you know, if it's somebody saying to you, oh, you should be more compassionate, or you should look at the bright side, or, you know, well, at least this, it's probably a mirror of their inability to sit with the depth and, you know, bigness, vastness, human emotions, right? Their own emotions, maybe they're uncomfortable with witnessing you feeling angry or charged or activated or upset. And they can't hold that. They can't sit with you in that. And so they're like, oh, just look at the bright side. Let's, you know, make it lighter. And everyone's on their own timeline. No, it's not a bad thing. By no means am I saying that these people are bad or wrong or shouldn't be saying that. Like, no, I was once that person. I was definitely once that person. And yeah, and now I'm in this experience where, you know, I've been like, oh, but I'm a conscious being, I'm a spiritual woman, like I'm connected to God, to source, to the earth. Like, shouldn't I be able to find compassion in this situation? And just having that permission to find compassion, to arrive at a place of compassion, of love and light and spirit after I've had a season of being with my emotions, like having that permission, it was just like, oh my God, thank you. Because trying to be compassionate makes me more angry. It makes me more frustrated. It makes me like feel like I am abandoning my own emotions, abandoning myself. And that's also like, it is a form of self-abandonment to just neglect or numb or escape or push away your real raw pain. Like that is a form of self-abandonment. So let's talk about like, how do I actually do that? Like Eden, it's great to sit there at your beautiful altar with all your crystals and your shells and your dried flowers and your oils. It's so beautiful to hear you, you know, talking from this place. But what do I actually do, right? How do I actually practice this? Let's talk about that. I shared with you, when you receive this, I almost said voice note. It's pretty much a long ass voice note though. It is. Like this is how I speak to my friends through voice notes, is like they just get like me just free flowing into their inbox. So this is my voice note. But by the time you receive this podcast, you'll have already heard last week's, which was also only recorded yesterday, I'll tell you. sharing about the emotional process that I just did, the intentional emotional processing that I did yesterday, or on Tuesday I did that. It's Thursday as I record this. So I'm going to touch on that a little bit. I'm not going to dive into in the same kind of light where it's talking about the importance of creating those spaces for ourselves, but I'm just going to talk about what actually happens when we open ourselves to our emotions. That means either creating the container to hold yourself, right? And if you're new to like feeling the depth of your emotions and, you know, you are still building the capacity in your nervous system to hold yourself in that, like maybe you're not going to go to create a space where you're just feeling your emotions alone. Maybe you're going to ask a friend to sit and hold space for you. And then of course adds like that layer of vulnerability, right? The more vulnerable you can be with somebody else, right? The deeper the transmutation or alchemization or, you know, but it also like really want to make a like big point here. Also, it doesn't have to be done all in one go, okay? So this can be like bite-sized emotional processing experiences to get you to this place, to arrive at this place of love, of light, of compassion, of spirituality, right? In its full essence, right? Really authentically, genuinely getting to this point where you feel it in every cell of your body, and the way that you walk and move through the world changes because you've fully arrived here. So how do we do that? We create intentional spaces to process our emotions. Maybe that's with your best friend. Maybe that's at a therapy session. Maybe that's by yourself on your knees in front of your altar. Maybe that's with your partner. Maybe it's screaming, crying in nature. Right? Whatever you do to process your emotions, whatever feels the most accessible or safe or like a place where you're fully able to go into your emotions, that's where we start. So for me, the day before, this emotional process was the first time that I actually sat and intentionally processed what I was feeling instead of just like living with these swarming emotions through my body and my field. And it was the first time that I, like yesterday when I recorded the mini podcast, it was the first time, and I realized it as I was recording, which you, if you've listened to that, you would have heard, it was the first time that I didn't have this undercurrent of anxiety buzzing in my belly throughout the day. So that's where we start, is creating the space, creating the container, right? What is going to hold you? who is going to hold you? And allowing yourself to go to the depths of your capacity, right? For me, I've been working to expand my capacity and ability to hold myself in emotional experiences, where I'm pretty good at it now. I'm pretty fucking good, if I do say so myself. Girl knows how to cry. Girl knows how to rage. I know that when I am spewing hatred and venom while looking at myself in the mirror and being like, oh my God, I don't know this woman. Who is she? She looks so vile and angry. I know that that's, you know, not the essence of who I am. And I know that it just needs to move through me so I'm not carrying it any longer. And for me, something that I do when I'm processing, especially emotions like anger and rage, where like I'm saying what, meeting a little bit of an edge here, but where I'm saying hurtful things, I am flat out saying hurtful things. And in this, for the sake of getting it out of my body. But what I do is I create an intentional tether to the earth. And I set the intention that every ounce of energy that comes up, an emotion that comes up to be released through me in this process, is offered, sent down to the earth, given to her to compost. That is my offering to the earth, is my pain, my emotions, my sobs, my tears, my screams, my rage. So that I know that that energy is not actually going out into the world. And this is where I feel a responsibility, right? When we start to touch these emotions that could be really harmful if directed at somebody else, when we start to touch these emotions, when we start to allow them to fully move through our bodies, it is our responsibility to, and our duty to, ensure that this energy is not leaking out in a harmful way. You know, and the earth, she takes death. She takes, you know, decaying, rotting bodies, leaves, plants, animals. And she uses that death and decay and destruction. She uses that to fuel new life. And so that's, for me personally, why I like to offer it down to the earth, because I know that she will use it to make something beautiful. She will receive that energy and transform it. So maybe that resonates with you. Maybe you want to offer it to, you know, the waters or the sun, spirit, whoever. But this is my invitation for you to consciously choose where that energy is going. And like, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you how to feel and process and rage but I do want to really emphasize this. Chances are, if you're doing this work, you are not a malicious being that wants to go around hurting everyone. Chances are you're either already very aware of energy and how it moves and flows and works and communicates, or you're starting to become aware, or you're curious. So I just really want to bring to the forefront this, like, we are not here to cause harm. Even though your anger and your rage might want that briefly, we're not here to actually do that. So anyways, that's for me how I create safety also for myself in these kind of emotional processes, where I am, letting all of these mean things pour out of my mouth. That's how I create safety, where I know that it's not who I am, rather something that just needs to move through me and leave and get out, but not through bypassing, not through avoiding, through actually fully welcoming the full expression. And sometimes, oh my God, you guys, sometimes I do some crazy shit. Sometimes, like, I kick, I punch, I karate chop, I slap. Not actually, but like I do those somatic movements. I fully allow my body to experience that so that I no longer have to carry it. And what happens? Here's where the magic happens. What happens when we actually let the full expression of our grief, our anger, our rage, or whatever it is we're experiencing, when we let the full expression to move through and out our bodies, what are we left with? When the quote-unquote darkness leaves, what are we left with? For me, spaciousness. When everything that's been boiling up under my skin has been poured and poured and poured out into the earth, what is left for me is space, right? You are a jar full of water. When you pour it all on the ground, now you have so much more space in that jar. And this is where it's like, it doesn't need to be all in one go. If you tip out a little bit, even a droplet, you have a droplet more of space, right? If you pour out half the cup, you have half a cup more of more space. So again, doesn't all have to be done at once, right? It's actually, depending on your nervous system's capacity to hold these more intense expressions of emotion, you know, doing it slowly, little by little, is more sustainable for your nervous system. And that's something that you can build, slowly build the resilience. I remember the first time I touched, since being a child, okay? The first time I touched the full expression of my sadness, I remember. I was so scared. I was so scared to go there. But I let myself go there for the first time in my adulthood. Oh, and I felt this like beam, this golden rod of light shoot through me, or not even shoot through me, but come alive through me. Like I finally touched this golden rod of light within me, which, you know, is my channel, right? It's my, all my energy centers coming online and creating that open channel. I remember stopping and being like, oh, is that it? I thought it was going to hurt. Like, it hurts, but I thought it was going to hurt way more. Okay, I can hold this. After being so freaking scared for so long, I was like, oh, I can actually hold this. Anger, though, anger is a hard one. For some. For me, it's been hard, right? Especially as a woman, like, yeah, it's more acceptable to be sad. Girls cry, right? Whereas I feel like it's so much more acceptable for boys, for men to be angry, right? Testosterone fueled. And just society wise, you know, boys don't cry. And so I know this is true for a lot of women, that anger is scary to touch, to let in. Even like, oh, but what if I hurt myself or someone else? And that's where it's like, okay, we don't need to actually go all the way there right away. Can you just touch with one finger, the tip of your finger, can you touch your anger? And then back off. Recoup, rest, recharge, and then come back and touch that anger, maybe with two fingers. until you feel like you can grab a fistful of it and slowly expand from there. So, what happens when we've created this space? That is where the light can come in. That is where spirit can come in. That is where our own voice can come in. Not the voice of our pain, our hurt, our betrayal, our anger, our rage. Not that voice. Not the voice of our emotions. But our true voice, our soul's voice. Some people would call this your higher self. And really, that's just the unfiltered essence of our being, our spirit, our soul. It also creates space for communication from spirit guides, animal guides, ancestors, to come in, direct God, source energy to come in. And that is where we truly, authentically, honestly arrive at an embodied state of love and light. So, if you want to be a human being who accesses this state, because that's like bliss. It's so blissful. It's so easeful. It's so peaceful. And that's why everyone wants to just get there, right? They don't want to do the work to get there. They just want to get there because they know it's going to feel good. But they don't realize that the steps that it actually takes to get there aren't necessarily always going to feel good. I mean, I'm at this place now with feeling my emotions where this hurts so good is delicious. Where I have two parts of myself, one part that is in the emotion, crying, sobbing, screaming, punching, raging. And then the other part of myself is witnessing myself crying. And the part of myself that's witnessing is like, yeah, girl, oh my God, feel those feelings. Yeah. Oh, it's going to feel so good once you move through this. Like, yes, we're in it. We're feeling it. We're alive. We're alive. If we weren't able to feel like we don't feel alive, I'm loving this conversation. Not back and forth conversation, but conversation with myself. This topic, it just feels so good to speak on in such a, in this like longer format way. But I feel pretty complete. Like, I think I gave you everything that I have to give and to share with you in this. This is again, where the light pours through when we've gotten to this open spaciousness. And this is where like the messages, whatever, whoever it's for, if it's just a message for yourself, if it's a channeled message that needs to come through you to be shared and heard and received by others. But this is where I really believe that we can get to this place of like clean communication with the divine without the filters or distortion. I'm going to use the word distortion of our human emotions or ego or beliefs, right? When we've processed all of those layers first to get to this space of clarity, really. And it's a cycle, right? It's a spiral. It's a never-ending experience. And this is why part of Holy Body, the last week of Holy Body is devotion to your path. And this is why I talk about devotion, because devotion to me isn't discipline. It's like a much more feminine and embodied and like heart-centered way of being in discipline, right? Discipline feels very harsh and firm and cutting and direct. And like, you're going to force yourself to do this, even though you don't want to do this right now. You're going to force yourself in the name of discipline. Whereas devotion is a way of being. It's a way of living, a way of showing up in the world. I am devoted to my spiritual growth and evolution. And so for me, processing my emotions so I can, again, come back to this place of being with God, with my soul, and making decisions from that soul-led place, creating my business from this soul-led place, offering what I have to give, whether that's in this podcast or on social media, offering what I have to give in those spaces from this soul-led place. And so I'm not just like focused on, oh, the business and the growth. I'm also devoted to the process of what it actually takes to arrive at this place genuinely, authentically, fully embodied. I'm so curious what this stirs up for you. How it lands, how it feels. I'm always so open to hearing, how these podcasts resonate or don't resonate with you, things that surface while or after listening, and things that you may look to in a different light or contemplate in a different way. So my DMs on Instagram are always open at Creating Eden with two N's. I kind of just assume that you all follow me on Instagram because that's like the only place I share that I have this podcast. But I don't know. There's also the potential that people have found this podcast through just Spotify. So I'm always open to hearing how things land for you. With that, I wish you full, authentic, embodied love and light as you navigate the rest of your week. I will speak to you soon.